Good morning, everyone, and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. We have an open line for an hour this morning, then it'll be time for On the Money. If you'd like to join in, and I hope that you do, 356-9397 is our phone number. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. You can email us, talk@wdws.com. In the news, of course, the Democrat National Convention, Michelle Obama and Bernie Sanders pretty much stealing the show last night. Michelle says that the presidential race is one between a positive role model for children in Hillary Clinton and a damaging one in Donald Trump. Bernie says the movement will proceed, but in the meantime, he's proud to stand with Hillary. In the audience, while Bernie was talking, dozens of young people had tears in their eyes. After comedian Sarah Silverman had said to the Bernie backers, "You're being ridiculous for not backing Hillary," she and Senator Al Franken were hung up in one of the most awkward and embarrassing moments you can imagine, because the stagehand said, "We're not quite ready yet for singer Paul Simon, so you guys need to stretch." And they weren't very good at it. Two terrific comedians. Al Franken was with Saturday Night Live for years and years, and Sarah Silverman is well known, but neither one could think of a thing to say. Anyway, Paul Simon came out and sang "Bridge Over Troubled Waters," finally. A new study has found what we all sense and know, don't we? That violent crime is rising in USA cities. The 318 homicides reported by the Chicago Police Department were by far the most of any enforcement agency included in the survey. Michael Jordan breaks his silence on social issues, donates $2 million, $1 million each for a police charity and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. High-profile Republican Ron Sandak has resigned from the Illinois House, saying that he faced unspecified cybersecurity issues. Two teens were killed and 17 hurt in an attack on a party in Fort Myers, Florida. And the Champaign mayor and the head of the local NAACP chapter are in support of the request for 125 new body cameras for Champaign police. So those are just some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. And if you have something on your mind as we go along, something different than what we're talking about, that's okay too. That's what we do in an open line. But remember, we just have an hour this morning, so don't wait. Well, it's a tragic story of a former North Lawndale College prep basketball standout was shot and killed yesterday afternoon, not very far from the school where his team had helped. He had helped lead his team to the Public League Championship in 2009, according to police and his former coach. Jonathan Mills, who's now 26, suffered several gunshot wounds around 1:30 p.m. in the 4100 block of West Roosevelt Road, according to Officer Thomas Sweeney. Mills was pronounced dead on the scene. He had no other details. North Lawndale basketball coach Lewis Thorpe said he and Mills had plans to practice basketball Monday afternoon in the high school's gym. The practices were a regular thing because Mills was planning to play basketball overseas and wanted to be in shape, Thorpe said. So here's a young guy, a basketball standout, shot not very far from his school. And it brings back the very sad memory of Ben Wilson. I'm sure many of you remember that. It happened on November 21st, 1984, in Chicago. Ben Wilson, most people called him Benji back in those days, was a high school basketball player from Simeon High School, and was regarded as one of the top, if not the top, basketball player in the entire United States entering his senior season, being heavily recruited by a lot of people, including Lou Henson and the University of Illinois. But you might remember, too, that Ben Wilson's jersey then was worn by several other Simeon players as they proceeded to college and elsewhere. But Ben Wilson was shot and killed near his school in 1984. And I was reminded of that when I read the story today about the North Lawndale basketball player being slain not far from his school. And it goes along with that story about the violent crime that we talked about just a moment ago. There's an organization called the Major Cities Chiefs Association, and they do a survey, and violent crime is on the rise. Major cities across the U.S., compared to the number of homicides, rapes, robberies, assaults, and shootings that occurred in the same cities at this point in 2015. This mid-year violent crime survey released yesterday shows 307 more homicides so far in 2016. This is data from 51 law enforcement agencies from some of the largest U.S. cities. In addition to a large increase in homicides, major cities in the U.S. have experienced more than 1,000 more robberies, almost 2,000 more aggravated assaults, and more than 600 non-fatal shootings in 2016 compared to this time last year. The only category of violent crime not reflecting an increase when compared to last year is rape. The 316 homicides reported by the Chicago Police Department were by far the most of any of the law enforcement agency included in the survey, a 48% increase over last year. Well, on that happy note, we'll take a break here at 9:13, 78 degrees here at the Radio Center. Let's talk a little bit about the convention last night. How many of you watched that? What did you think of the program, so to speak, the agenda last night? Michelle Obama and Bernie Sanders were the stars as far as I was concerned. A lot of other people were paraded out and gave their little talks, and very similar to what you see in most conventions. Tonight will be the roll call, and also tonight former President Bill Clinton will be speaking. So this is it's kind of weird, isn't it, to have a former president come back and be speaking at the convention in favor of his wife. So a lot of things will happen and are happening. Would be Hillary, of course, would be the first woman president elected, if indeed she gets elected in November. So if you watched any of that, maybe we can talk about that some, or anything else that you would like to talk about as we go along on this open line right after this quick break. Michelle Obama last night cast the presidential race as one of who's a positive role model for children. It would be Hillary Clinton. She would be a positive role model, and Donald Trump would be a damaging one. This was the marquee speech of the opening night. First Lady never mentioned Trump by name, but leveraging her popularity, she made a rare, if not unprecedented, foray into partisan politics to knock the Republican nominee. Obama condemned the hateful language that we hear from public figures on TV, saying, "Our motto is, when they go low, we go high." And, of course, she got a tremendous ovation from the crowd at the convention. her popularity is very, very high. He said, "Don't let anyone tell you that this country isn't great. Right now, this is the greatest country on earth." Obama had the crowd really going when she took the stage, kind of a departure from the political attacks on display all day, making the case that because of her character and temperament, Clinton is the role model that she'd like her daughters to see in the Oval Office. So that's now. It was a remarkable turnaround from what she had to say about Clinton back in 2007. To understand the journey she's taken as a reluctant conscript on the public scene, to come here and command the stage that way, the way that she did tonight, was extraordinary, and I think did for Hillary Clinton what no one else had done in the past. It's David Axelrod, who was a top Obama strategist during the 2008 campaign and now a CNN political commentator. He's on that giant panel that CNN has on every night, eight or nine people. Obama said, "This election, every election, is about who will have the power to shape our children for the next 4 or 8 years of our lives. And I'm here tonight because in this election, there's only one person who I trust with that responsibility. I'm here tonight because I know that is the kind of president that Hillary Clinton will be, and that's why in this election, I'm with her." She said, "Because of Hillary Clinton, my daughters and our sons and daughters now take for granted that a woman can be president of the United States." She called Clinton a leader who will be guided every day by the love and hope and impossibly big dreams that we all have for our children. And the applause continued. She had to stop a few times because they were applauding so loud and yelling. But during the 2008 Democratic primary fight, Michelle Obama often took swipes at her husband's opponent, which of course was Hillary Clinton. They said that there was an inevitable candidate, that there was someone who was going to make this race virtually impossible. And I thought, wow, is it over already? She said that in an interview with CBS in the fall of 2007. So our view is that if you can't run your own house, she's talking about Hillary now in 2007, if you can't run your own house, you certainly can't run the White House. But their relationship has changed. Shortly after Hillary Clinton suspended her campaign and endorsed Senator Barack Obama, Michelle praised Clinton for the way she came around to supporting her husband. "From the minute she was done right, she has always been cordial and open. I called her, I've talked to her, she's given me advice about my kids, etc." And then it was Bernie's turn. Well, there were other people in between, but Bernie Sanders led this, some people call it an orchestrated attempt by the Democratic leaders to pull their party together. But anger among the diehard supporters of Bernie proved that the Democratic unity there is still a work in progress. Kind of a dramatic first night. Obama brought the House down with her speech, and then they had Cory Booker was there, Elizabeth Warren was there, and finally Bernie got his chance. All day long, there were signs that many Sanders supporters were still experiencing feelings of anger and loss at the effective end of his political revolution. Their fury was exacerbated by a leak of Democratic National Committee documents that showed party leaders discussing how to beat him in the primary. And even on the convention floor, signs of discord were everywhere. One Clinton supporter, for example, got embroiled in an argument with a woman supporting Sanders who had blue tape over her mouth reading, "Silenced by the DNC." Another Sanders delegate wearing a Marine Corps cap took a swing at a Clinton delegate before Secret Service officers broke up the fracas. Some delegates had tears in their eyes as Sanders signaled that he felt the pain of those who had committed everything to his upstart political movement that at one point threatened to upend Clinton and the Democratic establishment. He said, "I understand that many people here in this convention hall and around the country are disappointed about the final results of the nominating process. I think it's fair to say that no one is more disappointed than I am." But he said his supporters had no choice but to swallow their dismay and take part in the election given the alternative. He said, "If you don't believe this election is important, if you think you could sit it out and take a moment to think about the Supreme Court justices that Donald Trump would nominate and what that would mean to our civil liberties, equal rights, and the future of our country." And the star of the night was Obama, but the Bernie Sanders talk was quite good, too. Then we got a text here that says, "The violent crime study must be wrong. Our illustrious president of the United States just told us a few days ago that crime was on the decrease. He said that America had never been safer." And, of course, Donald Trump based his, the major theme of his acceptance speech the other night was the fact that there is so much crime. He said he would be the law and order president. 925, 78 degrees here at the Radio Center. We have an hour this morning and boiled down to about a half an hour now. Up until 10 o'clock, we'll have the news then, and then it'll be on the money here on DWS. We take this quick break. We're coming right back. And to the phones we go for Brian. Hello, Brian.
Hi, Jim. Jim, I went and seen the movie Hillary's America over the weekend, and I think before everybody votes, they need to go out and see that movie. It depicts on how Saul Alinsky earned his chops or learned his the thing for rules for radicals by being inside the Chicago Mafia and how they did business. And he implemented that rule on how to amass power and keep power. And Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama both have signed off on that. And you look at Chicago politics now, and that's how this state is run, and that's how Madigan does it. I mean, you either line up, or you're taken out.
Who did this movie?
Dinesh D'Souza. He's the guy. He came out with a movie about Obama and the last election, and lo and behold, a few months later, he was caught for giving $20,000 to a campaign, and they locked him up in prison for a while. You know, and they put him in there with hardened criminals. I mean, rapists, murderers, and everything, you know, to help get his mind right.
This is basically a documentary, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it shows the history of the Democratic Party and how much of it's been swept under the rug and reprogrammed into our education system.
Well, a lot of people called, three or four people called yesterday, said they too had seen the movie and they were encouraging other people to go see it. So it's probably
a must-see, especially if you're a minority.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you, Brian. I need to break for the news here. Good to talk to you. At 9:31, Michael Kaiser has the news headlines. We're back with more Open Line on Penny right after the news. We have an open line going on Penny up until 10 o'clock this morning. It'll be time for On the Money. Betty is next. Hello, Betty.
Good morning, Jim. Normally, I don't watch the conventions, but for some reason or other, I was channel surfing, and I came across C-SPAN. And at that time, they were showing clips of Donald Trump and the way he was poking fun at, I guess it was a reporter that was handicapped. And then they had a young woman in a wheelchair come out. My heart was so torn when I saw that video of the man that wants to be president of the United States poking fun at handicapped people. And even though Chris Christie and others came out and condemned what he had done, it just is something that burns deep inside of me, because I'm handicapped. And if he would do that on public TV, what does that tell us in our hearts and minds? Would he really care about a wounded veteran? Would he really care about someone that came back to this country from fighting for this country who lost limbs? If he can do that to a reporter that has a disability, I've always been a Republican. But, Jim, I don't know that my heart can handle an individual that would do something like that, even if he thought of himself. It should have been kept to himself. But that's just my opinion.
Well, that's what we look for here is opinions. We thank you, Betty. Appreciate it very much. Anna Wall is next. Hello, Anna Wall.
Good morning, Mr. Turpin. Please pardon my language. I'll try not to be too rude.
Now, make sure you don't use any cuss words here.
Oh, no. I wouldn't dare do that.
No? Well, okay.
I just want to say that having watched the reviews of last night, because I didn't watch the incident itself, this President of the United States, and as an Afro-American, I hate to say this, he has sent this country to hell in a handbasket, and I don't think the tilt Hillary is going to be any better, because I'm not an expert on the Sharia ISIS, but based on what I heard last night, I mean heard this morning about what happened to that Catholic priest that killed her within Paris, it activated me into calling in to say what I have to say. Obama had no business appointing Hillary as Secretary of State because she didn't know enough about foreign policy to do it. If he should have made her his Attorney General because she was a lawyer. There was a brilliant Afro-American Lieutenant Colonel by the name of Allen West that he could have appointed if he wanted to appoint somebody, blacks in positions of authority, and that man was extremely qualified. He overlooked him, and he hasn't done anything but, I don't mean he personally, but under his administration, crime among blacks has increased. I'm not going to repeat because I know you've already heard about how many murders they've already had in Chicago. And he is from Illinois. So what I am saying is I hope that Hillary will appoint a Secretary of State, because I'm concerned about ISIS and the dangers and the harms they present more than I am anything else at this particular time.
You should be. That's one of the most important things.
And that's, I hate to be rude. As I said, pardon my language. But that president you've got now has sent this country to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, you said that before.
And I hope that that Hillary doesn't fall in his footsteps.
All right, appreciate your call. Thank you, Anna Wall. And Bill says, did you see Hillary saying she knew nothing about the DNC emails? Looked like a little kid lying to her parents. Her mouth said innocent, but her face said guilty. I can't believe half the Democratic Party wants a socialist atheist as president. Must be fans of Stalin. And we go to John. Hello, John.
Good morning, Jim. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. What's
politics
up, John?
Politics is really a dirty business.
Yes,
but
it is.
The problem is, number one, we should not low grade ourselves anymore by calling ourselves Afro Americans. Either we are Black Americans or Americans. Number two, we can't control them idiots on the other side of the world. That's not our job. Our job is to make sure if there's Americans there, we can oppose the law. A lot of times you can't teach people in foreign countries to go to McDonald's and get a Happy Meal. You know, this president has had more hell from, you know, everybody. The problem is we just don't see the light of day. We want it one way and one way only. It ain't going to be like that, people. We need to wake up. We need to stop this. Sometime when Ms. Scott get on, I wish she would just say, I am a Black American. We don't need to know her whole rhetoric. She's going too far, and she should get off the radio. It's always President Obama. It sounds like that guy that was, before I came on the radio, named Mark, always talking about the military. Never spent a day in the military. Don't know nothing about the military. This is, the president is not the problem. It's America. Now, if she don't like it, there's a plane and a boat leaving every day. She can go to another country. God bless her.
Well, John, this is a program where people have their opinions about one side or the other, and I wouldn't suggest for a minute that anybody that has anything to you think Donald Trump should get on a boat and go to someplace, because he's been saying things about America for the entire campaign.
What has he did for this country, though, Jim?
I beg your pardon?
What has Donald Trump did for this country?
What has he done for the country?
Yes.
Well, he's mobilized a lot of people that have never voted before and have never had much interest in politics. For one thing, I think that was would be his.
I'm one of the civil rights kids. Barry Goldwater did the same thing. Mm-hmm. Look how that turned out. You know, I'm not saying that Hillary's the best person for the job, but if we get Donald Trump in there, I guarantee you, we got more problems on our hand than anything.
No, but you said that Anna Wald or anyone that doesn't like this or that complains about this country should leave the country. That's a little over the top.
She's always on President Obama. President
so
Obama.
Are a lot of other people, and there are a lot of other people that are always on Trump, and there are a lot of other people that are on Hillary, and that's it's America. That's what we do.
Correct. And I'm one of those. I go both ways. There's good Democrats, and there's bad ones. There's good Republicans, and they're bad ones. But the problem is, this is America. If we don't stand for something, we're going to fall for anything.
Well, we've got a ways to go here to see who the new president's going to be, and then we'll have another 4 years of something, won't we?
And I tell you what, I was hoping she wouldn't say anything about the First Lady, because actually she stood up and she stood her ground last night. She made America proud.
You hope that who wouldn't say anything about the First Lady?
I was hoping Ms. Scott didn't say anything terrible about the First Lady, because she made America stand up. We looked good with her speech last night. Mm-hmm. Our children deserve better.
Yeah, I said from all morning long that she was the highlight of the night, that's for sure. Thank you, John. I need to move on and take a break here at 9:46. 83 degrees, that temp just kind of creeping up this morning. We'll take more calls and your ideas of what happened last night or anything else. That's what we do in an open line, coming right back to continue. We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. This is an open line until the 10 o'clock news, and then it'll be time for On the Money. Gary says, if the First Lady thinks Hillary is a good role model, why is it that she, Valerie G., and the Prez all refer to Hillary as the Hildebeest? Spin, spin, and more spin when asked about her recent email scandal, she lied again and said she knew nothing about it. Ha! And we go to Motor. Hello, Motor.
Good morning, gentlemen. You're doing a great job. A beautiful day. Good Lord is all watching over everybody. I told you all before, vote for me. I can't promise you anything, but there will be free beer on Thursday afternoon.
Why only Thursday?
I would be the president. I'd be real busy running into New York, China, Ethiopia, all over the world. Who else can be elected the president and travel all over the world and we pay for it? That's great.
So are you referring to the current president or any president?
Just president of the United States of America. I would stand up for everything. 10-4.
Okay, thank you, Motor. Michael Jordan has broken his silence on social issues. He donates $2 million. He said, I can no longer stay silent. That's Michael Jordan, who is a widely considered, I think you probably would agree with this, maybe you wouldn't, the best basketball player of all time. But he's someone who hasn't said much, if anything, hasn't really used his celebrity to take a public stand on social issues. He now owns the Charlotte Hornets. He published a one-page letter on The Undefeated. That's a new ESPN platform dedicated to exploring the intersections of race, sports, and culture. In that letter, posted yesterday, Jordan said he would be donating $1 million each to the International Association of Chiefs of Police and a newly established Institute for Community Police Relations and the NAACP Legal Defense Fund. The Hall of Famer also sheds light on violence from a personal perspective. Jordan's father, James Jordan, was gunned down by two robbers in 1993. He said, as a proud American, a father who lost his own dad in a senseless act of violence, and a black man, I have been deeply troubled by the deaths of African Americans at the hands of law enforcement and angered by the cowardly and hateful targeting and killing of police officers. I grieve with the families who have lost loved ones. I know their pain all too well. I can no longer stay silent. We need to find solutions that ensure people of color receive fair and equal treatment and that police officers who put their lives on the line every day to protect us are respected and supported. Jordan's letter comes 2.5 weeks after an Army veteran shot and killed the police officers in Dallas, saying that he was angry over the police shootings of black men. Jordan also wrote that while he has the greatest respect for the sacrifice and service of people in law enforcement, he recognizes that his experiences with law enforcement are different for him than for many other people of color. I've decided to speak out in the hope that we can come together as Americans and through peaceful dialogue and education achieve constructive change. As a star player with lucrative endorsement deals, Jordan wasn't known for taking a stand on issues, prompting NBA icon and activist Kareem Abdul-Jabbar to say in an NPR interview in November that Jordan took commerce over conscience. Prior to his letter, Jordan spoke out on North Carolina's controversial bathroom bill in his efforts to keep the NBA All-Star Game in Charlotte. He said, as my organization has stated previously, the Charlotte Hornets and Hornets Sports and Entertainment are opposed to discrimination in any form. We've always sought to provide an inclusive environment. The 2017 All-Star Game ultimately was moved from Charlotte and will be played at a yet-to-be-determined location. We go to Richard. Hello, Richard.
Good morning, Jim. I want to call in and comment on John's call. he often notes his military service and seemingly forgets the fact that Anna Wall served admirably, honorably, and probably in a much tougher environment than John. encountered. I want to say something to John. John, there was a Democrat, and his name was John F. Kennedy. And he said, ask not what your country can do for you. Well, my view is a very high percentage of the black society are constantly looking for governmental help. When 70% of black children are born out of wedlock and get governmental help, they're stealing out of my pocket, and I resent it. I would suggest to John, just as Anna Wall did many years ago, she turned from the Democrat Party because she educated herself, and she learned the facts, and she expresses them eloquently, and I have a love for him. I wish John would do a little better for himself and for his community, and thank you, Jim.
All right. Thank you, Richard. One final break here. We'll have time for another call or two before 10 o'clock news. Dan in Champaign says, Jim, I can't believe how wrong you and Anna Wall have it about ISIS being our biggest threat. As John Kerry pointed out a few days ago, air conditioning is every bit as big a threat as ISIS. You can't make this stuff up that comes out of liberals' lips. I did not hear John Kerry say that. Did you hear him, Jim Lewis? Did he say that? In what context, I wonder. Well, anyway, I get the point. And we go to Thomas. Hi, Thomas.
Hey, how you doing, Jim?
All right.
Hey, I'm really sorry that Richard feels the way he does. Maybe he should go see that movie that many people are talking about. Maybe he can get a little bit of understanding. I think it'd be good for Anna Wall to see that movie as well. The innuendo of African Americans just looking for handouts is upsetting, considering, you know, the land that was given to white folks back in 1865 by an act of Congress that actually gave them the financial footing that many of them stand on right now. So, but, you know, if he's not informed of that information, then he wouldn't know that. So I just wanted to put my two cents in.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it, Thomas. Well, our time is up this morning. I told you we only had an hour, and as always, we get all the calls in the final half hour of the hour. So the next time try to remember when we have an hour show that it's you got a better chance of getting on, because we had to cut off some people here this morning quickly to get everyone on. But On the Money is next. I'll be back tomorrow morning on DWS in Champaign-Urbana.